igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within.
I was lucky enough to be in the Navy. You had your hard times and times you were like, what the hell did I sign up for? Like, in anything. And then you have, you know, times that this was like the best decision. And now looking back on it, it was definitely the best decision. And I would do it all over again. Being in the military, you see people from all over. You see different culture. And it just opens your eyes to see, wow, like, let's try this. Let's try something new, something different. Let's see how it works. I think it was in Bahrain. I was actually had a beer with the guy from Qatar. So these guys would drive like 2 hours out just to go to like a little bar, just relax and have a drink, and then they drive back. And you know what? A couple of days later, they said they had found a possible match. They hooked me up with this great guy who works over at Memorial Sloan and Kettering to put me in contact with someone who has experience and knowledge and who's willing to help. The way he did is just amazing, just awesome. Went to the project site over in Brooklyn by Brooklyn Army Terminal. Brooklyn Army Terminal was where they made the weapons for the war. So, and if you look on the old picture of it, where they have balconies on both sides, in the middle is with the train tracks and cranes. And the cranes would pick up the weapons that they would push out to the balcony after they were ready to be shipped out. And the cranes would take them, load them onto the train, and then the train would ship them out to the war, wherever they were going.
I'll wait here with bated breath. That's when I basically spilled my drink and started laughing. I love that phrase. I don't know why, but I do.
I can picture you laughing and spilling your drink, too.
You could. Why is that, Terry? Why is that?
The hamburger story?
Our head coach, Barry Russomano, had a phrase. Instead of using that term or profanity to talk about the person, he would simply call them a hamburger. Are you a squeaky wheel?
I'm a squeaky wheel.
You need some WD-40, don't you?
No, because that would silence me. Maybe it's not other people who are wrong and telling me, and like, maybe it's me. In my past, I've made plenty of mistakes in my past. But in a way, I would not take what happened in my past back because it made me who I am today and made me think and be and act the way I do. Me, I have a quote on my stomach that's like a half circle that says, it ain't over till it's over. How are you going to change? You have to seek it.
You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer.
On episode 21 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast, we have Billy Crum. Billy is a husband, son, brother, teacher, and musician currently working on a full album. He's a man of many talents. This should be a lot of fun. Here we go. Hello, and welcome to episode 21 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. As I said before, we have Billy Crum on today, husband, son, brother, teacher, musician, working on a full album right now, a man of many talents. Billy, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad I got you on. I've wanted you on for a while, and today I got my wish, so I am glad. I am glad. So we'll go right into it. As I said before, a teacher, musician, and many other things. But I wanted to ask you first, what inspired you to become a teacher? Because originally, I mean, smart guy. You're an engineer, and you were doing a little bit of that first, and then you went into teaching. So what inspired you to go into teaching?
Both of my parents are actually teachers. My father taught physics and chemistry at the high school level for 33 years. And now he works kind of as an administrator, as a development person. And my mom has taught bio and math and, oddly enough, religion. Three of those sometimes don't always go together, but she's taught that between kind of 7th, 8th, and high school level for about 25 or 30 years.
Wow. So it's not they're not teaching just one subject. I mean, we're talking about three different subjects, biology and math and religion. I mean, all three of them.
Sure. I think in the situation they're in, at small private Catholic high schools, you're kind of forced into that because you don't necessarily have 5 sections of bio for a class. So kind of if you want a job, you kind of need to branch out and be willing to multitask a little bit.
need to be a teacher utility player, as it
exactly.
were.
You're the Joe McEwing of...
Joe McEwing reference on the podcast. That is awesome.
Coming from a Mets fan.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know him as a guy that student of the game. Is, I don't know if he's still coaching in the big leagues, but did. And I see him as a future manager. So Joe McEwing appearance on the podcast and a comparison to teaching. So that's outstanding. So Billy Crum, teacher. Okay. And now I know you and met you through music, through going out and seeing you play out a couple of times locally. Explain where you got your affinity for music and what's inspired you to create more.
Sure. Yeah. When I was a little kid, I was probably a little bit of a rapscallion, if you will.
Rapscallion.
son of a gun. I'd listen to the radio and I would think that, hey, you know, some of these songs are really good and other songs are just not as good. And being the overconfident, probably a little jerk that I was at the time, I said I could write a better song than that. And then that kind of became a little challenge for me. The problem was that nobody in my family is musical, and neither was I, neither am I. Now, depending on who you ask.
Well, if you ask me, you are widely talented.
So it became this situation where I'd write down some lyrics, and then it became a situation where I thought, hey, if I really want to write a song, I need to learn how to play guitar. And so kind of thought about it for a while in my head, and I'm 5'7", so I got junior year of high school and kind of splitting time between like JV and varsity basketball, but not really playing too much. And I kind of said, you're 5'7", Bill. It's not going to happen. kind of gave up my dreams of becoming Steve Nash. And I was able to use that time that I saved to pick up the guitar and kind of learn the guitar. And it was cool to, you know, take those lyrics you had and try and put some music behind them. And then it really became something where you could start with the music and then write the words around the music. And depending on the song, you switch it up one way or the other. And then it became, okay, you can write the song. And then it became a challenge of, well, not a good singer, never learned how to sing. Kind of always thought it was something you either had or you didn't have. And
that's what I always thought.
And it was kind of another situation where I learned that you can actually, you know, there's a technique to it. And you can learn and you can get better at it. And so I did that. And I was really lucky enough to meet a guy named Perry Monteritis. And he kind of took me under his wing and he helped me learn. And it's kind of blossomed since there into something I'm doing today.
Yes, and you do it very well. The next question I would have you, or actually maybe a comment about basketball skills and being 5'7", I are just being short overall. One is a cousin of mine would play intramural volleyball, and they would call one of their friends on the team phone book because the person didn't have a phone book to jump. So that's what I think of when I think of your basketball days, maybe mine as well. But when it comes to music, you are certainly tall in talent. And you're recording an album, like you said. And about the process itself, you know, what comes first, lyrics or music? For you, what actually works better? Do you create the melody and music first, or are you better off when you write the lyrics first?
I think the natural inclination is to, at least for me, is to write the lyrics first. But with that said, I think some of the best songs I've written have actually started with the music, unintentionally, where you're just kind of playing along and kind of stumble upon something on the guitar and you start to, you know, piece it together and develop it a little bit. And I think that sometimes that works better because your lyrics kind of fit the mood of the song, as opposed to trying to fit the music to what you think the mood should be based on the lyrics. And sometimes that is a little more natural, but I think every song is a little different.
Your ear for music. Did you always have an ear for music? Do you wake up in the morning with a melody in your head? because you know, I don't, and I wish I did. Is that developed too?
I think if I'm being honest, I don't think so. I think that the thing that drives me and one of the reasons that I've always liked kind of folk and country music is that I like music that tells a story. Kind of why I've pursued it is because I feel like I have a story to tell. So for me, it's taking that story and kind of applying some type of melody to it, creating some type of mood, some type of atmosphere around what the story is to enhance the story and make it really connect with people in a way that simply talking about something doesn't.
That's very well put. You are extremely eloquent right now. I don't know how I couldn't express it in that way. I would want to, but if you've heard that, people, rewind that part and play it back, because Billy Crumb is a wealth of knowledge right now. Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
Very kind. Very kind.
Well, it's also true. It's also true. As I implied in the intro, one of your missions in life is to use your music to help children in need. Additionally, you express the fear you may feel when giving your full effort to be all in your comments to me. As we know, when one goes all out, you're going to get banged up. Explain how that fits in with the song Earn Your Scars.
I think that Earn Your Scars is it's kind of describing the sensation, the idea that maybe something happens for a reason. You may believe in that, you may not. But whether you believe in it or not, the reality is that something happened, and something happens to me, something happens to you, something happens to everybody in their life. And it's not enough to me to simply just say, okay, it happened, let's move on. To me, it's something that you could say, that happened, how can that make me better? How can I earn that scar? How can I take what happened and become better and make it purposeful as opposed to just something that happened?
Goes back to the last podcast with Jerry Trapp. How do you use your past, good, bad, or indifferent, to make you a better person today? There's always a way to do that.
Absolutely.
How do you find inspiration in pain? And I've heard this song a bunch of times. You gave me a CD years ago, and it's been in my CD player in my car. And this is one of the songs that I play in my car, along with your great song Mason Jar as well. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to play live now Earn Your Scars. So people, if you could just give Billy a quick second to get all tuned up and expand his diaphragm, as he said to me before, by standing up. He's going to stand up now, because he told me when you sit down you contract your diaphragm and you have less space to move around. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty much. It feels to me like you're kind of crunching it down in there. And, you know, for me personally, it's a little easier to stand up when I sing.
Well, you have stood up, and I will introduce you. This is Billy Crumb and his song, Earn Your Scars.
All right, thanks a lot, Fox.
Help but notice a little boy staring back at me. He's got one foot to the fire, the other in the grave. And truth be told, that's all he's known. Man, is that boy brave? Yeah. If I ever go and lose my way, then it's probably best I do. causing weak ones to try and break you, and try and tear you back in two. And thank that girl, he's the point in life that she puts a wide hope in you. And there's a badge on my back, there's a crest on my chest, or a matter where I've been when I'm all in a mess. 6 feet higher than you should be, man, those wounds look fine to me. Easy go, won't get you far. Damn those girls, dig them scars. Man, they made you who you are. It's a cowboy up and earn your scars. Embrace the underdog inside and carry a big stick. Let the white noise fall on deaf ears as you silence your critics. Cause everybody knows it all. You pay no mind to what they say. So they stood in your shoes and they survived for just one day. And there's a badge on my back, there's a crest on my chest. For a matter where I've been when I'm all in a mess. 6 feet higher than you should be. Man, those wounds look fine to me. Easy go, won't get you far. Damn those girls, dig them scars. Man, they made you who you are. It's a cowboy up and earn your scars. And don't give up now. And don't let me down. Pick up your head before you drown. It's funny when you look back how you don't feel a thing. All you remember are the good parts, how the pain taught you to dream. Our destination's in a journey, and those scars are just the map. Outlines that point you where you need to go and pick you up when you fall flat. And there's a badge on my back, there's a crest on my chest, or a matter where I've been when I'm all in a mess. 6 feet higher than you should be. Man, those wounds look fine to me. Easy go, won't get you far. And those girls will dig them scars. And they made you who you are. It's a cowboy up and earn your scars.
There it is, people. Episode 21 of the podcast. That's Billy Crum and his song, Earn Your Scars. Lyrically, to me, it punches me in the mouth. I mean, here's some of the lines. Easy go won't get you far. I mean, come on. That's part of life in a nutshell. Pick up your head before you drown and earn your scars. Again, Billy Crum, episode 21 of the podcast. That's probably the second time someone's played live. And just to give you an idea, the first time I was the singer, and it was brutal. so glad that you picked it up here on the podcast.
Cool, Billy. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So as Billy gets settled and drinks some water here, we will recalibrate ourselves, and when Billy is prepared, we're going to play our game called What, Which, and Where. And Billy, as I've been told, a frequent listener of the podcast, is aware of the game, knows how to play it, and is not very confident in his ability.
Fully expect to fail this.
As a teacher, he fully expects to fail this.
I didn't study last night.
Well, that's because you're probably thinking about his song, and he had a cross country this morning. So you're excused. You're excused, Mr. Crow.
All right, let's see if I can use process of elimination.
Process of elimination and maybe just some helpful hints. Look at your surroundings. So you know what to do. You hear the quote. Tell me from what, or which, or where it came from.
Okay.
Number one. I've come to one conclusion, all you lads. Your impact on each other is the greatest currency you could have.
Is that a Ghostbusters reference?
From 1984?
I think so.
Wow. And was it Dan Aykroyd?
I believe it was.
Are you comparing me to Dan Aykroyd?
I am.
Okay. I greatly appreciate that. Where in the movie do you think that's coming from?
I believe they're in the, what was it, like an old fire station or something? Maybe I'm totally off base, but I feel like that's where they were standing. I'm not sure.
Was Slimer anywhere in the picture? That's a really dumb question, Billy.
I'd assume so.
He should be. Billy, I appreciate it, but that actual quote is from a poem from my book.
Oh, wow.
Dan Aykroyd. Well, thank you for comparing me to him. I am
talented like him.
I'm talented like him and incredibly humbled. It's from a poem called The Greatest Currency You Could Have.
That's awesome.
It certainly is awesome, and what a thoughtful answer.
The quote, not the response.
The quote. The incredible wit of this podcast is just amazing. It's just amazing. Billy, number two, if you want to redeem yourself.
All right.
Here we go. Somebody that you hold in high esteem. Somebody may beat me, but they're going to have to bleed to do it.
Oh, that's an easy one. Steve Prefontaine.
Steve Prefontaine.
And the myth, the legend.
All three of them. Where did your affinity for him come from?
I was as a runner growing up. And if you're a runner in the United States, for most of us, Steve Prefontaine is kind of the pinnacle of what it means to be a runner, to always give it everything you have and, kind of never let your circumstance get you down.
And your surroundings. Yeah. Don't make your surroundings maybe your own reality. Next question for you.
Yeah.
Whenever you're shaving your face and you have a little bit of a beard, do you ever contemplate keeping a mustache like he?
Oh, yeah. Every time. I usually shave the sides and leave the stash. Show my wife, freak her out, and then shave the
freak
rest.
Freak her out. Maybe she's away for the day. Maybe you keep it for a day.
Yeah, just walk around the house with it for a few hours. See what I would feel like.
Oh, outstanding. And I'm not a runner. The old joke I use is, I'm so slow I have to speed up to stop. but I do, of course, share an affinity for Steve Prefontaine. So, Billy, one for two.
All right.
One for two.
Like one very bad answer.
I would say a thoughtful answer.
Thoughtful.
Very thoughtful. The third and last quote in What, Which, and Where goes like this.
Okay.
I love this one. It reads, quote, I am so glad I wasn't born before tea. Again, I'm so glad I wasn't born before tea.
I have no idea who said it, but I could guess why they said it.
Do you want to explain why they said it?
So, I heard a story that life expectancy grew significantly after tea was invented because people never thought to boil the water. So because nobody ever boiled the water, the foodborne illnesses in the unboiled water in the, I don't know, I guess it was probably after medieval times, that foodborne illness would make a lot of people sick. And then when tea came along, people started boiling water. And unbeknownst to them, life expectancy grew.
They kill the bacteria in the water and stuff like that. You get something fresh, clean.
I could be a total crackpot, but, you know, I think that's right.
That might be why Sydney Smith said it.
Sydney Smith.
Yes. Yes.
So, I like one of his other quotes.
Which is what?
A great deal of talent is lost to the world for the want of a little courage. And I think that that is just so true. Everybody's so scared to kind of be themselves and give it their best effort that they never even get started.
It's in your music story about music. A lot of life is being scared to do something, but doing it anyway.
Absolutely.
But doing it anyway. But I'm sure you've encountered that in music, in your athletic career. Asking your wife to marry you.
terrifying.
It's terrifying. You could say that again, just to be clear.
I love you, honey.
Okay, so we've got that to Mrs. Crum. And it all worked. He's afraid of rejection. Mrs. Crum. So that's why he's saying that. If you ever listen to this podcast, but yeah, again, a lot of life I feel like is being scared to do something, but doing it anyway. So and the quote again from your favorite quote, Sidney Smith, is
a great deal of talent is lost to the world for the want of a little courage.
I don't think we have to explain really that any further. All good stuff. I'm going to have to give that one to you. So 2 out of 3 in
right.
What, which, and where.
All right, that's not bad. A 66. It's passing grade.
Did you round up?
I round. That's an 80.
What is bumping up 13 points? You know
yeah.
what? I want to take your class.
You know what? There's a curve.
There's a curve. There's a curve. A curve that I could never hit in baseball, but a curve. But a curve in Mr. Crum's class. And going back to earlier on, I think Joe McEwing hit a few curveballs, but
yeah, Randy Johnson, watch it.
Why did watch? Yes, he did. Yes, he could hit velocity, people.
That's true.
He could hit velocity. So 2 out of 3. What, which, and where? We've got the song "Earn Your Scars." We go back to Billy Crum's earliest inspirations for music and teaching, and I am going to end the podcast this way by asking you this question. We know not all your heroes come with a cape. If you had a chance to take a 3-hour car ride with either Steve Prefontaine or Sidney Smith, who would you choose and why?
I would have to say Steve Prefontaine because he is kind of almost an everyman, or so that's the way he saw himself. The reality is he probably had some innate traits about his body that allowed him to be an Olympic runner. But from his point of view, that wasn't the case. From his point of view, it was his success came purely from effort, purely from overcoming pain, dealing with pain, and succeeding in spite of it. And that, to me, is what part of my life has been. And to me, that's really cool. Hoping and striving for that success is really something that I think is really cool and that I think a lot of people do. And I don't think it's just me.
No, it's not just you. That man is a great example. To me, just from watching documentaries on this man, Steve Prefontaine, he was at his best when he felt his worst.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
And to me, that's what character is. You know, adversity, to use other quotes, so a quote that not directly from my friend Stuart Lake, but indirectly, adversity reveals a man to himself. And when you're up against it, like Steve Prefontaine was, and we all are in life, the real you comes out, and almost always in his life, as we saw it, as a runner, he came out on top because he just refused to freaking lose.
Agree, absolutely.
That was it.
I think that's awesome.
That was it. Here's the other point. I don't know that you could have taken a 3-hour car ride with Steve Prefontaine because he would have chosen to run it.
Oh man,
that's just my opinion. I think you probably
that's
have
possible.
To give him a bunch of Ambien, just enough Ambien not to knock him out, so you can actually talk to him,
get through a conversation.
Yes, yes, just a couple of words, Steve, please. So, So to go back to your high school experience, you're a 5'7" shooting guard or point guard?
Point guard.
5'7" point guard, going back to that. So if you just put yourself in that young man's shoes, what advice would you have for him?
That's a tough question.
That's why I ask.
I think that if I were to give myself advice back then, it would be to take a deep breath and take one day at a time and do what you love to do, not what you think you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't kind of discover that for a while. But I think that I have now, and I think that it was a valuable lesson that needed to be learned, and I learned it, and I'm just trying to live by it now. So that's what I would offer myself back then.
Outstanding. I totally concur. I want to be 17 again, but I would not want to be as dumb as I was when I was 17. Do you know what I mean? So, eloquently put. This has been outstanding. Billy, how can people get in touch with you? And do you have any upcoming gigs coming up?
So right now I don't have any upcoming gigs. I'm actually trying to take my time and put together a full-length album. And that really takes up a lot of my time between teaching and that. I do enjoy playing out. So when I decide to get back at it, I'll absolutely let you know. You get in touch with me through Instagram at Billy_Crumb or Facebook. As the CD comes together, I'll probably be putting out a website and a couple other formats to get it out there. So I'm looking forward to doing that and kind of progressing in this journey a little bit.
You certainly are progressing. Just to be clear, Crumb with one M, correct?
Crumb with one M, C-R-U-M.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
Give him a follow. He's again, man of many talents. You heard him play live. If you don't like that, I don't think you have a pulse. That's just my opinion. So we'll wrap it up this way. Billy, last question. Who would you like to hear on an upcoming podcast?
Who would I like to hear on an upcoming podcast? Have you had Dave from the Myersville Inn?
Dave Grieco. I have not, but he's coming in high demand. I've been lucky to hear Dave play a bunch, and actually was an undercard to one of his events last year. So we will be sure to get Dave on. I think I need to do that pretty quickly. I'm going to get it.
Excellent.
So excellent. Well, I'll write that down. Dave Grieco. I've got his information. I will contact him and see if we can fire him on here. Billy, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Outstanding. That will wrap up episode 21 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Billy and I will talk to you all later. Take good care.
You have been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Buyer. Because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Nausea, pain, stiffness, and headaches. Frustration, consumption, aggravation. A 4 a.m. date before a 6 a.m. sunrise. You fight all these from the inside. There's temptation to go back. But the only solution, you must attack. Sometimes all you want is a rocking chair to complain, saying, "Hey man, it's not fair." But trust me, the only fair thing to do is to give it your best. And then, and only then, you can rest. Let pain, torture, and agony drive themselves to your destiny. Trust me, it's all worth it.